Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and I am broadcasting from the Diamond ahead of the 2022 playoff matchup here at the Diamond tonight with the Flying Squirrels taking on the Seawolves. I'm Adam Epstein. You can get in touch with me throughout the show by calling in 833-804-0910. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. Give me a call right now if you're coming out to the Diamond for the game tonight. Still to come on the show today, Matthew Paris, who covers the Commanders for the Washington Times, will join me at 1:15. And we'll also do the Cowan Gates Hokies update with Bill Roth at 1:30 on the show today. But joining me right now in the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat is one of the voices of the Flying Squirrels. That's Blaine McCormick. What up, Blaine?
How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great, man. Playoff baseball, baby.
Oh, there's nothing like it. I love the whole day of playoff baseball because you feel it in your chest the whole time. The whole time you're going to the ballpark, you sit down for just a moment, and you see how much thrill this game will be.
Absolutely, man. It's just, it feels so good to be here.
Yeah.
This early in the morning. I mean, seeing the field crew out here setting everything up. It just, you know, like it has a playoff feel in it about the air right now. It's very cool. But anyway, I wanted to bring up here, because we always do a non-sports topic here at 12:15. How old are you?
I'm 26.
So you're 20. So you're above the cutoff age that we were talking about. Anybody below 22 years old right now is just an idiot. They just are, these Gen Zers out here. And the reason I bring this up today, all right, Cheek, and I know you're close to that cutoff age here, but the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has issued a warning. Don't cook your chicken in NyQuil. And you'd think, why would they have to put out that warning? Well, the reason they have to do that is because a bunch of TikTokers have gone viral for making these things they're calling sleepy chicken. It's the latest craze among TikTokers. It made national news headlines. I've watched the videos. As they're cooking this, I mean, they're legit baking chicken, Blaine. It's unbelievable. Pouring NyQuil over it, and they're trying to get, like, this special blue flavoring to it. It's the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, no, I don't either. Mm-mm. I mean, do you feel me, man? Just what are these Gen Zers doing?
That's why I'm not on TikTok.
Exactly.
For this exact reason.
Exactly.
See, I was cooking up food last night, and not for one second did I ever think, let me go into my pantry and grab some NyQuil or some DayQuil or any, like, medicine. Why would you ever mix medicine with food? It makes absolutely no sense to me. Sleepy chicken. Cheek, tell me you've never thought about doing anything like that.
I have not. Chicken already has tryptophan. It already makes you sleepy. And also, I would like to not die. This is like when they had to issue the thing, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago, where it's like, hey, everyone, don't eat Tide Pods. They shouldn't have to say that.
Right, yeah. No, I remember. They took a bunch of shots at millennials for the Tide Pods. They need to realize it was a couple years below us. That's what I think. But, yeah, no, so what does chicken have in it that already makes you sleepy?
Tryptophan.
Because I feel that. Every time I eat fried chicken or something, I fall asleep on my couch immediately. So why the hell do you need the NyQuil?
Tryptophan's in turkey.
So it might not be in chicken.
But I'm sure it's the same deal.
Right. I mean,
Similar. Believe
me, anytime I eat a bunch of meat, first off, I start sweating, right? You get the meat sweats, and next thing you know, you fell asleep on your couch in the middle of Survivor last night.
It's in chicken. It's in chicken, too, yeah. So, point stands.
All right. Anyway, we got Blaine McCormick here joining us in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hot Seat. Talk about your experience from Tuesday calling your first playoff game.
It was amazing, man. It was such a fun time to go up to Erie, Pennsylvania. They had a great crowd on hand, too, for the Seawolves game, just like we're going to have here tonight at the Diamond. And, you know, you feel different during those playoff games. And I mean different in a good way, because there's so much adrenaline. There's so much anticipation for what's going to happen next. And when Brandon Martorano hit that home run in the second inning, I got goosebumps because, first of all, Martorano has been a fantastic player this season and from last season as well. He's been a leader in the clubhouse, a leader behind the plate, and it felt great to see him at the plate hit a home run and get that first run for the Flying Squirrels. And I'm happy to, you know, I'm excited to see what he brings tonight and what the whole entire Flying Squirrels squad brings tonight as well.
Let's play the audio of that key at bat.
3-2 pitch and a fly ball sent to center field. Backs up Parker Meadows, still tracking it back to the wall. That is gone in dead center field. Brandon Martorano leaves the yard, and Richmond's got a 1-0 lead.
So you get to talk to with the players all the time. Do you think that they feel the crowd in a game like tonight, a playoff game where the Diamond's going to be sold out and everyone's going to be all over the place going nuts?
One thing that I've talked about with these players before is how cool the crowd is, and they know that. Throughout the season, that's something that they comment on every interview, every time we talk together, just even, you know, off the air, just calling each other and seeing, like, what, you know, what they enjoy here at the Diamond. And they all the time talk about the crowd, and it could be on a Wednesday night when we have 4,000 or 5,000 people here. With a crowd like tonight, it is going to be special, and I think they know that ahead of time because they've seen the big crowds on opening night where it was 9,810, that same number on July 4th. Every time that those games are brought up, they mention how cool the crowd was, and I can't wait for tonight.
Absolutely, and the Seawolves have struggled historically when they come to the Diamond, lost 70% of those matchups, so it's like they're feeling the crowd pressure too. Something that I'm kind of wondering with a match like tonight and the Flying Squirrels here, and they need to win. Do you think the players are feeling like, hey, we've got to get on the board in the first couple innings and really get rid of some of those nerves?
I think that's important for this team because they did that early on Tuesday night against the Seawolves. They had that leadoff home run by Brandon Martirano to give them a 1-0 lead. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, they might have in the back of their mind. But Dennis Pelfrey does a great job with these players keeping them calm and keeping them in the game and making sure that these guys, you know what they need to bring to the table. And that's exactly what they're going to do tonight.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody was on the roster in 2014. So it's going to be a playoff first for all the guys. And so you'd have to think maybe they had some nerves on Tuesday, but now they're coming back home. The excitement from the crowd, they've got to feel confident tonight.
And that's something as well with this roster. They have playoff experience in the past with their, you know, previous teams. Take the Eugene Emeralds, for example, last season when they won the Northwest League. Tyler Fitzgerald was on that squad. Dennis Pelfrey was the manager. You have players like Ricardo Genovese that was on that squad. Brett Auerbach, who was on that team as well. So these guys have some playoff experience. They know what these kind of games mean to them. And I think that's kind of an advantage for them, too. And mentioning about the crowd once again, Adam, that's going to be a secret weapon for the Flying Squirrels because these fans are the best in minor league baseball. Led all of AA in attendance and overall and average, and they are going to bring it tonight, and I can't wait to see it. Go RVA! Go, everybody!
Yeah, let's fill the stadium up. Let's fill it up. Cheek, you got to be here. Tell your dad, tell your mom. Everybody's got to come, and you can still get your tickets. Tickets are available still at squirrelsbaseball.com. Tell me about who we got on the mound tonight for the Flying Squirrels.
It is Keaton Wynn, a right-handed pitcher from Ollie, Iowa. Have you heard of Ollie?
I have not.
It's under 200 people, according to Wynn, and he's a great guy. He's kind of a quiet guy, but when he gets on the mound, it is intense what he brings.
Is he going to touch 100 tonight?
I don't know about that. He could, but he does throw a really hard fastball, and he's very accurate with his pitches too. Still fairly new to AA. He's only made a handful of starts, but I'm excited to see what he brings in this postseason game.
Absolutely, man. Love having you on the show, hanging out. So what are you doing for the rest of the day? I know you got to coordinate things, and then also Franco Tostado's going to be here,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Tostado's going to be here. He's going to join the fans for an autograph session at the Brewski's 804 Corner Cantina. That's located right by the Flying Squirrels team store, if you don't know where that is. Tostado will be there from 5:30 to about 6:05, signing autographs and everything.
What time do the gates open?
The gates will open up at 5 o'clock today.
Great.
And one cool thing, I brought one of these, Adam. It's our rally towel that's given out. These are brought to us by Richmond Area Honda Dealers. It's a white towel with a Flying Squirrels jersey on the front. So if you get here early, please do, because you're going to get your chance to get a rally towel. It's going to be fun to see these circle around the stadium, get everybody hyped up.
Feel like a Pittsburgh game or something, right? Steelers, the terrible towels.
Yeah. But it's going to be so much fun, and I'm so excited to see what this community brings tonight. It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun.
Do you want to give a prediction?
I don't. I know. I'm not a big predictions guy.
I knew it. I know it.
I'm not a big predictions guy, but one thing I know for certain, this place is going to be rocking.
That's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be a ton of fun. Everybody, get your tickets still right now at squirrelsbaseball.com/tickets. I'm Adam Epstein. That's Blaine McCormick broadcasting live from the Diamond on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein, and that promo that you just heard there happened about, 150 feet away? I'm joined by Barney.
I don't believe that.
You think I'm lying on my promos?
Yes, that's not true. You know why? Because you wouldn't put your beer down, I don't think.
I caught it with one beer in one hand, the ball in the other.
Did you spill any beer?
Of course. It got all over me.
See? That's a party foul, eh, Watt? That is a party foul, and it certainly would be a parney foul.
Do we not have cameras at that location there? We should be able to check that.
We will
Sports Center top 10 play.
We will go back to the feed. Sports Center top 10 plays have happened here a lot this year.
They have.
Thanks to my boy Shane Matheny. He's a regular on that show now.
He is.
He's had a lot of great plays, but – hey, thanks for being here with us today, Awad. What a wonderful, special day for the Flying Squirrels and Richmond sports in general. First Squirrels home playoff game in 2,935 days.
Oh,
I did the math.
Oh, my goodness. I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time since 2014. Gates open at 5 p.m. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to Awad Radio. Joining me in the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat is Parney. The CEO of the Flying Squirrels. So tell me about the expectations for attendance tonight.
Well, things are going really well. We are tracking we have less than 1,000 general admission tickets left, hoping to get to a sellout. But if not, I'm sure we're going to be over 9,000. And I remember the last time we were in the playoffs, however many people are here, like the noise is times two because every pitch matters, every at-bat matters, every play in the field matters. And it's just a really special environment. You can already feel it. You can feel it in our front office. People are working like crazy. I was just pointing out to you what the grounds crew is doing out here and how nice the field looks.
So explain that to my audience. So instead of a coaching box, regular white line, they painted it black and red today.
Yeah, instead of just a regular coaching line on first base and third base, we have it in Squirrels colors. Then behind home plate, the boys put in the Squirrels logo in our colors in the grass. And they're really good at doctoring up the batter's box and also the pitcher's mound with logos too. So I can't wait to see what they say. But certainly there's playoff fever in the air. And, you know, I just saw a couple of our players. Will Wilson just walked into the clubhouse. Frankie Tostado is here, everybody. He's not playing. Of course, he's on the IL. But he is back here. We brought him in to say hello to the fans. He's signing autographs in the Brewski's Hot Corner Cantina on the first base side. That's right next to the Squirrel Store from 5:30 to 6. A lot of pregame ceremonies starting at 6:15. World Series lineups, and then we'll get her cranked up here at 6:35. So I hope that we're able to say we have a sellout. I think we're going to get there, but for certainly we're going to have over 9,000 screaming Squirrels fans here cheering on the hometown squad.
It's awesome, man. And I want to give a shout-out to everyone working behind the scenes to pull this off, and you can help me do that. I know you got here, 2:30 this morning? You couldn't sleep.
Well, one of the things I love about this business, and I might even get a little emotional, is today's like my first day on the job, right? Like I woke up at 2:00. Tanya had set the alarm for 4 because I had to be here for some TV interviews at 4:30, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I just got up and came in here. And you know the way this place talks to you in the middle of the night, I'm getting kind of weird. But I walked out into the field. I just sat here and listened to it, and just a feeling of peace. And a feeling of something really exciting and special is going to happen today. And, you know, I wish we were in a situation where we could clinch tonight, but we're not. We're in a situation where we have to win to stay alive. I have full confidence in Dennis Pelphrey and the guys that we're going to come home with a W, and that would require us then tomorrow to have a winner-take-all third game of this series. So playoff baseball is very exciting, and we're looking forward to tonight. I can't wait. 5:00 is a really important time. We open up half hour early. There's going to be Thursday afternoon traffic anyway, Awad. We want people to get in here early, soak up the atmosphere, and get ready to cheer on the Flying Squirrels.
What I'm wondering is, will people travel to this game from all over the state of Virginia? Parney, because you're such a great leader for the Flying Squirrels. Like, I have friends of mine that live in Northern Virginia, and they were asking me if I could get them tickets. And every time that you come on my show, they say, "That guy's electric. I love him."
Well, it's better electric than like insane, which I've been called before too. I mean, we have friends from Sandbridge that are coming to the game tonight. So there's going to be people from all over. Hermie Sadler's coming to the game from the big city of Emporia, Virginia. I hope Hermie doesn't get a speeding ticket coming to the game today. But, you know, so there'll be people from that. Coach Rhodes is coming. You're wearing the Doug Brooks jersey today.
Hey, it's a Bones Highland
no
jersey.
No way. It's Dougie Brooks to me, okay? Dougie Brooks. The VCU new baseball coach, Bradley LaCroix, he's going to be here. Just all kinds of people from the Richmond sports scene. Lori Warren, the new president, Richmond Raceway. So it's really going to be the place to be right now in Richmond sports community tonight. 6:35, again, we have some general admission tickets left. SquirrelsBaseball.com, or you can call the office. We also have post-game fireworks tonight. So just something for everybody. And hopefully right now, you got the nicest office in Richmond right now,
I really
now,
do. I mean, I'm like, taking it in. The sun's now coming out. It's hot, and I'm sweating, and I'm loving it so much being here at the Diamond.
You're sweating in your Dougie Brooks jersey. So, yeah, we're down here in the Bistro. For those of you that come to our games, AWOD set up in the Rosie's Bistro down the line right next to the bullpen where tonight's pitchers are going to warm up, and the flags are flying. I mean, this is a beautiful, beautiful scene. And in 5.5 hours, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong.
So I'm here till 3 p.m. broadcasting live. Will I see the guys come out here and take, batting practice and pitches and all that?
Stretches at 2:30. So during your show, the end of your show, you'll see our guys come out and starting to stretch literally right in front of you.
Wow.
Like right over here in the corner. You might even be able to hear Pelf's pregame speech.
Hey, Cheek, turn my microphone up a little louder for that one. That's Party. I'm Adam Epstein. Party, thanks so much for coming on the show. And good luck tonight to the Flying Squirrels. You got to feel confident, though. The Seawolves historically have lost 70% of the games at the Diamond.
Well, we're definitely going to have a home field advantage, so make sure y'all come out. Let's get to a sellout so we can show minor league baseball what Flying Squirrels are all about.
The Richmond Commander coming up next on The Fan.
Are you ready to join the AWOD Army? Tune in to the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM every day from noon to 3 on AWOD Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from the Diamond ahead of the Seawolves traveling here to Richmond to face off against the Richmond Flying Squirrels, Game 2 of the playoff series tonight. If the Squirrels win, Game 3 will be back here at the Diamond on Friday night. First pitch at 6:35. And it is game day as well in Blacksburg. And welcoming in now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline for the Cowan Gates Hokies update is Bill Roth. What's going on, Bill?
Well, we have a big game here tonight. It's sold out. West Virginia and Virginia Tech renew their rivalry. This is the first time WVU has been here in 18 years. And it's the last game scheduled. So I don't know when we'll get this throwback again. But I know it's a national TV game. It's a exciting rivalry when you think back to the 90s and the great Big East games between these teams. So it feels a little bit like, 1993 around here today, just to see a lot of the gold and the blue. And the fans have been tailgating since last night. It's a crazy atmosphere. The secondary ticket market for these tickets is ridiculous. It's a hot ticket, and it should be a lot of fun in there tonight.
Bill, so you mentioned 93. I was born in 92, and I do remember this rivalry when I was a kid, but I was too young to realize the importance of it. Why is it such a big rivalry here, the Black Diamond rivalry?
Well, back then there was a lot on the line. Virginia Tech in 1999 had to beat West Virginia to keep its national championship hopes alive, and it did on the last-second field goal. I think that West Virginia's won some big games at Lane. In 2003, the Hokies were number 3 in the country, and they went to Morgantown and got beat on another one of these midweek games on ESPN. It's just been a big rivalry, and it's a border state. It's fan bases that really are passionate about their team. Back in the day, this rivalry got so heated, that's why they canceled the series. It wasn't because of conferences moving. It was things that were happening in the stands and in the parking lots and on the field with things being thrown. And it wasn't the players. It got too out of hand from a fan base standpoint. And and they let it cool down a little bit. And then last year they played a great game in Morgantown. There were no incidents. Everything was fine. I mean, this when Virginia Tech was in the Big East, this was Tech's biggest rival. And they don't play anymore. So to get it back again, it's exciting.
You're listening to the Cowan Gates Hokies Update with Bill Roth. I'm Adam Epstein here on AWOD Radio. Bill, what are your expectations for the crowd tonight in Blacksburg? I think I saw it was going to be sold out. I mean, what's it like calling a game with that kind of noise that loud in Lane Stadium on a Thursday night, too?
Well, the Wofford game at 11 in the morning had 62,000 people. So at this point, it'll be like the BC game. That was sold out. And the next game, Miami, is sold out. So they've done a good job. I'll say this. I mean, clearly, everyone knows what my role is at Tech. The fan base is back, okay? The fan base is back. Wofford, 11 o'clock kickoff. At 10:30 in the morning, every seat is taken, okay? 10:30 on a Saturday morning for Wofford, every seat is taken. So that shows you where the fans are, okay? They are back. As for the team, everyone, even with the most orange and maroon rose-colored glasses, right, orange and maroon glasses, knows the talent level is not where it needs to be. There is no Cam Chancellor. There is no Lee Suggs. There's no D'Angelo Hall. There's no Andre Davis.
Eddie Royal. Right.
Yeah, so, but I think people get that. So I think my expectations tonight is the team – and in West Virginia, there's no Major Harris either, okay? This isn't like two top five teams. I think West Virginia is really, really good on offense, though. In fact, they're exceptional on offense. And Graham Harrell's their offensive coordinator. He was with Leach at Texas Tech. They do a great job offensively. They've got two terrific tailbacks. They've got three great receivers. They've got an elite NFL quarterback. They're a team, at some point this year, they're going to destroy somebody offensively. This is a team that you watch, at some point this year, they're going to put up 77 points on someone. I hope it's not tonight, but you can kind of tell, they had 65 last week. You can kind of tell that they're getting going offensively. So I think tonight, what Tech needs to do is play the best offensive game it has, because it's not going to win this game 27-10. They have to score tonight. They got to figure out a way to get in the 30s against West Virginia.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. This is the Cowan Gates Hokies Update with Bill Roth. Bill, I feel like Grant Wells has kind of settled down and he's feeling more comfortable in this offense. Do you feel that way after his game against Wofford? I get it, it's a lesser opponent, but 26-35, threw for over 300 yards and two touchdowns and no turnovers.
Absolutely. And this is a big game for Grant tonight. You know, he's from Charleston, West Virginia. Yeah. He grew up in a city that, even though he played at Marshall, and he was a terrific quarterback for Marshall, he grew up in a town that was, it's very heavy West Virginia fans. His first exposure to college football was wearing a West Virginia jersey at Mountaineer Field when Geno Smith was playing for them. So that was his indoctrination to college football. When he was in high school, however, WVU didn't recruit him, and Marshall did. That's how he ended up there. But tonight he gets to play against the team that he grew up watching. And so there's a little extra something, obviously, right? He's the home state kid playing against his old I don't want to say the team he grew up cheering for, but certainly the team he grew up watching.
Bill, Mike Vick, back in Blacksburg. I love some Mike Vick. I can't tell you how much I love him. He's the biggest reason I'm a Hokies fan. I loved watching him so much play. I had his shoes. I was rocking his kicks on the basketball court. How cool is it to have Vick back in Blacksburg? I thought it was so cool. I played some of the audio earlier on my show of him pumping up the student athletes. Vick is the best. How cool is that for all of Blacksburg?
Really exciting. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of former players back tonight. And you know, Mike's doing he's doing broadcast work for Fox, so he can't come on weekends. And there's a couple of other NFL guys whose teams don't play Saturday that are going to be here tonight as well. So they have today off, so they're going to get into town for the game. But Michael Vick made such an impact on this football program and Tech's athletics program, clearly changing the way Tech football was thought nationally all the way back 23 years ago. And that's why tonight, again, is kind of a throwback. Remember how I said it kind of felt like it was the 90s again?
Yeah.
It feels that way because it's Virginia Tech and West Virginia playing a big game. Well, they haven't played in a generation. And so I guess that's what I'm excited about, right? It's like these students who are here now and people who are even recent graduates who are in their late 20s or 30s that aren't aware of how cool a Virginia Tech-West Virginia football game is. Imagine if the Red Sox and Yankees just stopped playing and didn't play for 20 years, right?
Right.
Or that's what this is. They played for 42 years in a row, a border state rivalry. If you live in towns like Bluefield, Virginia, the state line runs right through the heart of it. You either live in Bluefield, Virginia, or Bluefield, West Virginia. Okay, it's right. One city, two states. So, you know, in that part of Virginia, this was always the biggest game. And in southern West Virginia, for people in cities like Charleston and Beckley and Oak Hill, there's a lot. It's an hour and a half to Charleston from Blacksburg, right? So it's not that far. It's closer than Richmond. So for those people, this has always been a big game. WVU is bringing their band. I can't think of another rivalry that we play today. Not that this is a big thing, but like you would never go to Morgantown without your band if you're Virginia Tech, right? Mm-hmm. And WVU, they're never coming here without their band. And so it's going to have that SEC vibe where the bands are always playing. It's a rivalry game. And we don't get that all the time in the ACC. Right? We don't, you know, other than Clemson, I don't think anybody brings their band to Lane Stadium. It adds to the vibe. You throw a sellout crowd, and you throw it all together at night, on a Thursday night, with ESPN's crew. It makes for a really cool event. I just hope the Hokies play well enough tonight against a really good offense.
Yeah, no, I totally feel like this is an opportunity here for Coach Pry and his staff. I mean, this could be a program-changing victory for Virginia Tech and Coach Pry. So, Bill, before I let you go, what are your keys to victory for Virginia Tech?
Well, I think, and this is going to sound like a coach. Remember, it seems like every other week I apologize for sounding like a coach, right? But I think people, you know, like when college basketball coaches play a really good non-conference team in November or December, and they say we're a better team for having played the game.
Yeah.
I think Tech, and this is going to sound, please don't roll your eyes. I think Virginia Tech, regardless of what happens tonight, will be a better team at 11 o'clock tonight and be better to play North Carolina, NC State, Miami, and Pitt. Those are the next four because they played this game. Does that make sense? Like if the Hokies were playing another Southern Conference team Saturday, like a Wofford, and won, I don't know if they're ready to tackle the dude at Pitt, right? I think there's something to be said about let's see what you got in a non-conference game. It's not going to affect the ACC standings against a really elite NFL quarterback and a really good running back and a couple of pro receivers. Let's see what they can do. So I think the key to the game for the Hokies to win it is to create some turnovers like they did in the BC game. Create some turnovers.
Hopefully they are successful. I'll be watching tonight, 7:30 on ESPN, and Bill Roth on the call right here on 910 The Fan. Bill, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
See you, man. Have a good week.
Yep, I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from the Diamond here in Richmond, Virginia, for the Flying Squirrels playoff matchup tonight against the Seawolves. And joining me right now in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning hot seat is one of the play-by-play voices of the Squirrels, Trey Wilson. What's going on, Trey?
What's up, Adam? Thanks for coming out today. It's an awesome day for some baseball here in Richmond. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah, Parney was on the show earlier, and he was saying how I have the best office in all of Richmond right now today.
Yeah, it's a pretty good view. In a few minutes in this last hour of your show, you're probably going to have the guys are going to be over here hitting. You're going to be dodging some line drives and foul ground.
Right.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I didn't bring my glove. I should have. Yeah. Maybe I have one in my car. Maybe I'll check it out next commercial break. But while you mention that, tell a little bit to the audience about, because you're here at the park every day, you know, what goes on between 2 o'clock and then 5 o'clock when the gates open and 6:35 for first pitch.
Yeah, these guys certainly don't just show up and get here like an hour before game time and then just go. They've got some pretty long work days. It's a little different in the playoffs. Still some work to be getting in, but guys will start rolling in a little bit after lunchtime. They'll get some work in the cage with hitting coach Danny Santin. Sometimes you'll have pitchers over here throwing some bullpens with Paulo Segura, the pitching coach. And then they'll get out here on the field. Sometimes during the season they'll do some fundamental work, take some ground balls, work on some things with Gary Davenport. He's our fundamentals coach. And some of the other guys who might be in town with the Giants. Tim Leeper is here this week. He's the outfielding and base running coordinator, longtime manager in this league with Altoona, and the first base coach for the Blue Jays for a long time. Clay Rapata, who's one of the pitching coordinators for the Giants, is here. And normally, in a normal day, they'd probably be over here working on some stuff in the bullpen. But at this time of the year, everything's focused on you got what you came with now. How do you maximize the best of that and go out there and win a baseball game tonight?
Will they hit bombs at all? Like if I stand out in the outfield and try to catch balls or maybe behind them in the parking lot there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Typically, it's because the pitches aren't coming in quite as hard. They're not going quite as far in BP. But you've got some guys that put on some shows in batting practice. I know they call them there's some guys that – that's not really a term of endearment, but, you know, they'd call them back in the day. They call them a 5 o'clock hitter. The guy who during BP is like launching balls into the upper deck in the big league stadiums are here. Guys hitting the ball off the scoreboard. We've got guys that thankfully they keep most of that at game time. This team's hit more homers than any team in the history of the franchise this year, and they save it for first pitch when it matters.
It's awesome, man. I'm feeling the excitement. I'm wondering if you've seen the community kind of rally around the team during this run this season towards the playoffs.
Oh, no doubt. It's been incredible seeing the feedback from everybody. A lot of people were locked in on Tuesday with the first game of this series up in Erie. Really all season, this has had a little bit of a special feel since opening day, and then winning that championship in the first half to clinch a playoff spot, seeing everybody rally around that was a lot of fun. Fans have expressed their frustrations with the performance in the second half. The team hasn't won quite as much, but that's what comes with when you have a community that supports the team like this. They're going to be locked in the good and the bad. But the good news is over the last 2 weeks of the regular season, this team played great baseball, and the fans were following along with that. The crowds here at the Diamond are always loud. They're always engaged. And then out and about around town, you know, I'm sure Parney said the same thing, but if you go out in your Parney anywhere, whether we were in Scroll Stuff or not, you're going to hear about it. But if I go out wearing Richmond stuff, I went to pick up some breakfast this morning over at Moore Street, and I was wearing my Squirrel stuff and got to go
squirrels.
How is
that, man? I haven't had their breakfast yet.
Oh, it's the best. The Squirrel's Nest Breakfast Bowl. They got a little Flying Squirrels logo on the menu next to
it.
It's like sausage, eggs, bacon, sausage gravy over a bed of tater tots. It's awesome.
Oh, my God. That sounds like breakfast and lunch.
It's usually my Sunday go-to pregame breakfast before the day games on Sundays. And for a long time this year, every time I had it, the team won. And then I stopped having it the last couple Sunday home games, and we lost. So I went and got one today. I figured let's
do it.
Doing everything we can, taking one for the team. Plus, it's an awesome breakfast. So that's an unpaid endorsement, by the way.
Unpaid for now, right?
Yeah, Moore Street. Call me.
It's Trey Wilson, play-by-play voice of the Flying Squirrels, sitting in the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat. And so you've traveled with this team. I'm wondering, how does this atmosphere, like the stadium here at the Diamond and the fan base here in town, how does that live up to the rest of minor league baseball?
Yeah, I've been in a few different leagues, and there's nothing close, especially the playoffs. Minor league playoffs are tough to draw for some reason because you get people locked in, it's football season and all that, but I've done some posts and postseason. There's a short run-up to sell it. You know, it's not quite the same thing as some regular season games, but I tell you what, a lot of props to the front office staff in Erie. They had about a day and a half to turn that around. They had a mostly full ballpark on Tuesday night for the first game of the division series, and they had sold a little bit before then, but once they clinched their spot Sunday night, they got that place full, and that fan base was rocking.
Do you think we were playing with some nerves that would be relieved coming back home here to the Diamond tonight, game two?
I think definitely, and anybody listening tonight to the pregame, you will hear Dennis Pelfrey talk about it some, but just having the noise behind them. is going to be big. I will say, I did look like it saw a little bit of nerves. I think, I don't know if we saw nerves. We saw a few guys that maybe were pushing, trying to do too much. I think we saw Kyle Harrison on Tuesday. Normally he sits about 93 to 95, and he'll break out 97 when he needs to. But, like, every pitch he was throwing was, like, 97 miles an hour, and he got a little wild.
Yeah.
He did have 9 strikeouts in 3 innings, which if you do the math, that's every out that he got. But his outing was a little shorter because he ran himself. So guys like Harrison, I'm sure they tell him, hey, man, if you go out there and do what you usually do every time out there, nobody's hitting you. You don't need to ramp anything up special because when you do what you always do, and I think that for all these hitters and for Keaton Winn on the mound tonight, it's the same thing. This team is really, really good. You go out there and do what you do, and it's going to help. You know, you get a big spot, and you've got, you know, runners on second and third and 2 outs, and Keaton Winn's on the mound or something like that, and this place starts roaring with 2 strikes. You know, that gets you amped up. You might see a little extra accidental. He's up to 98. You might see a little accidental 99 or 2
or 101,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be really
whatever
cool.
Whatever gets the outs.
Yep. So give me a preview for the game tonight. Your partner, Blaine, didn't want to give me a prediction.
Yeah, I don't do predictions.
You don't
either.
Do predictions either.
I can do previews, but I don't do predictions because it's one. It's baseball. It's so tough. But we leave that to like the talk guys, like you guys. Our job is to just say what we're seeing in front of us. And I will say this: this Erie team is very good. They have the best overall record in the division this season. They've got some really good, experienced veteran players. They put together some really tough at bats. They have great pitching, but so does Richmond. I mean, maybe they're not the same age as some of the Erie players. They've got more up-and-coming guys, and Erie's got a few of them too. But Richmond's got one of the most talented teams that has ever been here in Richmond this year. And, you know, who knows what will happen tonight. Got to win, and everybody in there is very aware of it. So everybody is laying it all out there tonight to get a win with the season on the line tonight. But this team's got some great bats, 1 through 9 in the lineup. You know, this ballpark, they've played very well at home this year. They've hit homers at a rate like has never been hit in this stadium. And I'm talking from 66 or, well, that was, I would say from 85 when it opened, when the Richmond Braves were here, up through this year. No team has ever hit homers in this ballpark, which is pretty big, like the Flying Squirrels have. So maybe we'll see that be a difference maker tonight, see the power game play.
Absolutely. And Erie has historically struggled when they come to the diamond.
That is very true. You know, the playoffs, everything is different, but and these two teams have never met in the playoffs before this year. But the Seawolves, all time, I think they've only won about 25% of their games, if I remember the math right, in this ballpark. And in baseball, that is an incredible. And the players in the clubhouse for the Seawolves probably don't know that, but other people who follow the Seawolves are very aware of it. This Erie team historically has struggled in this stadium. Now, they went 3-3 last week in the series here, but Flying Squirrels were a couple of plays away. They played a great series last week, those two teams. That was objectively fun baseball. So the next 2 days go like that. This is going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be back and forth.
It's how it's been pretty much. Even Tuesday night, the final score was 9-3. But if you look at it, the Seawolves put up 4 runs with 2 outs in one inning, one of them on a 3-run homer. You're 1 pitch away from getting out of that multiple times. And then in the 8th inning when they added the 3 runs that really kind of pushed it further, there was one miscue that happened that helped set that up, and then those runs all scored with 2 outs as well. So, you know, you're talking about 2 different pitches swinging the entire way that game went. And Diego Rincón is getting thrown out at home plate. It was a big momentum killer too, and that was by a matter of an inch or two. So you're looking at, you know, 3 very small shifts during a game that made it a 9-3 score instead of being, you know, 5-3 Richmond the other way around. So every play is so important when you get to the postseason.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm excited. You can still get your tickets right now at squirrelsbaseball.com/tickets. How pumped are you for this game tonight at home at the Diamond? First playoff game here since 2014. We were talking before the show, and I love my job right now. It's my dream job here because I went to VCU, and you feel like this is your dream job, your home.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last time I was on your show, I mentioned it, but one of my favorite professional career moments was my first game here at the Diamond as the Richmond broadcaster. I called games here as a visitor before, but opening night of 2019, you know, Ryan Klesko joining us on the air was a legendary Brave and one of my favorite players as a kid. And just all the fans here actually cheering for the team that I was calling the game for, whereas I'd come here for 4 years as a visiting broadcaster and had to wear the other side. And it's intimidating, and the guys feel it on the other side. Fans, players from other teams that come through here, they say this place is insane. it's electric, and it's not something you see in minor league baseball ever. You know, VCU, same thing across town. Even the University of Richmond, the basketball games, they have great atmospheres, and that carries over here as well. So to answer your question, number one moment for me, number tied for first, is that opening day, 2019, and when the last team that I was with won a championship in 2017, tonight could be right there with that. It's going to be awesome. And then the noise level, I mean, I'm excited to hear the fans. I'm excited to see the guys get on the field. There are only a handful of tickets left. If you're out there wondering what you're going to do tonight and you're still kind of wavering back and forth, let me just go ahead and lock your plans in now. Come join us because you're not going to want to miss this one.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be back here tomorrow for a third game in this series.
That's the plan. I'm not ready for the offseason yet. You know, I haven't even started. I've barely paid attention to football so far. I'm not ready to just sit on the couch on Saturdays watching
college football.
I
just got the best office in town. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not freaking leaving. That's Trey Wilson, voice of the Flying Squirrels. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Of course, Adam. Anytime. Yep.
Have fun on the call tonight.
Yeah, we'll be on WRVA tonight, so flip over there. Plus, throw this in there too, tonight's game will be free on MILB TV, so anybody can watch the game here on broadcast on MILB TV as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You're listening to AWOD Radio, broadcasting live from the Diamond on The Fan.